The story known to the world under the titles of The Road to Emmaus or the Walk to Emmaus has been described as one of the most beautiful stories in the world. It's all more beautiful because it's true and because it happened to two ordinary people, ordinary folks just like you and me, on a dusty road, 7 miles long, that goes down the hill from Jerusalem westward to a little village which is even today is called by the Arabs Emmaus, and then Emmaus. So here is a story that took place on the very day that Jesus rose from the dead. That very day, Cleopas and his unnamed companion were not among the inner group of the disciples of Jesus, but they had clearly been drawn to Jesus and they had believed in him. It's often supposed that these were men, but it's equally possible that they were a married couple, a husband and a wife, who had believed in Jesus. But Jesus had been crucified, and all their hopes had been shattered. We had hoped, they say in verse 21, we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. It's probably Easter morning, and the two disciples were leaving Jerusalem. Who can blame them? Jerusalem is a place of pain, sorrow, and loss, and suffering. It's a place of death, unmet expectations, and disappointment. It's a place where their lives were shattered. No one wants to stay in that place. As they walk, they're talking about all the things that happened, and I suspect all the things that didn't happen. One important thing to notice here is that Jesus was a part of their conversation. Jesus was part of their conversation. And it's a good thing to ponder upon this. If he is part of our conversation, our casual talks in our families, workplace, and our official meetings. And I have often seen, especially Czech people, in the trams, restaurants, shopping malls, saying, Ishu Maria. And we say, Oh God. That's not what I'm talking about. If Jesus is part of our conversation. For example, my wife often asks me questions from the Bible. Why in John chapter 5, Jesus said to the paralytic man who was paralyzed for 38 years, do you want to get well? Or why in Luke chapter 7, the women came with a very expensive perfume and washed Jesus' feet? He became a part of our conversation, our casual talks. They were talking about Jesus' arrest, torture, crucifixion, and death. They are talking about hope that didn't materialize, expectations that came to nothing, investments that paid no return. They are disappointed and sad. They had hoped Jesus was the one, but he is dead. For 4 years, they were waiting for 400 years, they were waiting for a prophet from the Lord, and they had him. But now he's no more. Their hopes were shattered. And there is a part of them that's been lost, a part of them that died with Jesus. Now I think this story speaks very directly to where we are today. There are many who at one time professed to believe in Jesus, but now no longer have any hope in him. This story raises questions and invites reflection. It demands to be recognized as a story about our lives. And it is a story with which we are familiar. It is a story of sorrow turning into joy. It's a story of shattering hopes and finding hope again. If your life has ever been shattered, then this is your story. If your life has ever been restored, then this is your story. If you have ever been in that in-between place, between shattering and restoration, then this is your story. The whole experience of the two disciples can be divided into four stages. The first stage is the stage of discouraged and despondent spirits. At this stage, they were downhearted because they did not know that Jesus was alive. Their hearts were filled with perplexing questions and mysteries. Why did Jesus have to die at this early age, at this young age? Had his promising ministry come to an untimely end? Why was his body now missing? Did somebody steal it? Questions and more questions, but no answers. This is a picture of many people who live today. People who are living in the gloom of disappointment. People who are living in the depths of despair and hopelessness. Perhaps there may be someone here today who is like that. You have come here with a troubled heart, with many questions but no answers. Dear friend, take heart. For the same Lord Jesus that brought light and hope into the lives of these two disciples can do the same for you. The next section of the passage tells us all the strangers who joined the two disciples took over the platform of the conversation and then joined them for an evening meal. He brought the disciples out of the stage of despondent spirits and into the stage of burning heart when scriptures were open to them. You know, one of the things that Jesus did after he rose from the dead and before he went back to heaven, 6 weeks later, during those 6 weeks, he did something that he had never done for 3 years before. He gave them Bible study. He took people through the scripture, through the then Bible, the Old Testament, because the New Testament wasn't written, through the books of Moses, through the prophets and the Psalms. In verse 32, they testified about this stage when they said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" There was no more gloom, no darkness now, but a flame burning bright. At last they understood why the tomb was empty. No one had stolen his body, but Christ had risen from the dead. The Emmaus disciple probably realized how shallow their knowledge of the scripture had been. If ever we want to understand God's will and purpose for our lives and the world, you got to understand the things that are said in the Bible. It is my hope and desire that God may use this message to achieve at least one thing in us this Easter season: to renew our love for His Word. To renew our love for His Word. And give us a desire to dig deeper into it. He now proceeds to the third stage in the experience of the two disciples. This is the stage of open eyes and enlightened minds. It is interesting to note that the disciples were unable to recognize the Lord Jesus Christ until the climax of their encounter. For at least 3 hours He had walked with them and talked with them, and they did not know that He was their Messiah, their Master. Have you ever had that experience? When you can't see something that is right in front of you? Perhaps you were looking for your glasses and they were right on your head. How about when you look for God, but you can't sense His presence? When you can't see God or sense Christ's presence, what should you do? There's a dark place to be at, but it's similar to where some of Jesus' followers found themselves suddenly after His crucifixion. It's actually pretty normal to go through times when you struggle to see Christ because of everything going on in your life. When you see God far away, God can use this time to draw you near to Christ. One of the ways we draw near to Christ is by meditating on and reading the Bible, the Scriptures. Verse 24 to 27, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, He explained to them what was said in all the Scriptures concerning Himself. Jesus goes through a bird's eye view of the Old Testament to say that it's all pointing towards Him. As the two travelers listen to Jesus talking, they begin to realize they have missed something. They have missed something. Jesus had come to liberate His people, but not as a mighty warrior, but as a sacrificial lamb. But still, they don't recognize the one standing in front of them is Jesus. But now they have seen Him in the Scriptures, and so they are ready. The ground is prepared. When you read the Bible and the words of the Bible come alive to you, the moment you see the manifestation, that realization happened for the two disciples, as it does for us in the breaking of the bread. Their eyes were opened when Jesus took bread, blessed it, and broke it and gave it to them. There is something very significant about the sequence of actions that Jesus used here. He had done this same sequence of actions before on at least two occasions. He did it at the feeding of the 5,000 and the Last Supper. Could it be that this repetition of breaking bread by the Lord was done deliberately to jog their memories and their faith? Could it be that their eyes were opened only at the moment when they saw His hands? When they saw His hands with the prints of the nails while He was breaking the bread, and believed that the stranger who was with them was truly the Lord Jesus, and that all the reports of His resurrection were true. Dear friends, I think we can learn a lesson here about the importance of faith. Thomas was not the only doubter among the disciples of Christ. Actually, many of them were doubting Thomases. And today we must ask ourselves if we too are like them. Do we doubt that He who is with us and dwells in our hearts is the Lord Jesus Himself? Let this message stay in our hearts to have more faith in the Lord who is with us. There is one more lesson we must learn from the Emmaus disciples. This lesson comes from the last stage of their experience, the stage of sharing the good news. Here we see how excited the disciples were. It was already evening, but what they wanted to do now could not wait until the following day. The news that they had was just too wonderful to keep to themselves. They did not mind making the 10-kilometer journey back to Jerusalem, even though it would have been dark by then and not a good time to travel. They could not wait to relate everything that happened to the rest of the disciples of Christ, who were still in discordant spirits because they had not seen the risen Lord. The lesson we can learn from Emmaus disciples now is about how eagerly we should be willing to share the good news of Christ with others. Let us be just as excited about sharing the gospel with others as these two disciples were. Let this be a part of the agenda after the ACM today. How to spread the gospel, how to spread the good news in the Czech Republic or beyond. Dear friends, this would be a good time for us to rededicate our lives to the cause of proclaiming our risen Lord. Let us dedicate and rededicate ourselves anew to serve Him, to tell others about Him, to study His Word diligently and to live by faith in Him. In the name of God, whose Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.